Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, Hannah's Heart family. This is Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Today, we have a really exciting episode that I am going to jump straight into because I have some wonderful guests in the studio with us. For those of you that are new to the show, this is a show for couples who struggle with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe you're adopting, and God is just building your family in a unique and different way. We want to go with you on that journey. So today, we are going to be talking specifically about breastfeeding. And I did not even know that this was a thing, you guys. This blew my mind, that if God calls you to adopt a little baby and you would like to have that bond and breastfeed that baby, that that's possible, even if you've never had a biological child of your own. Mind blown, right? So today we're going to have Anna Shambly, who is a lactation consultant, and her preferred title is mother of three. You recently left the profession to be at home with your babies, and you have a video YouTube channel that is awesome, all about being a real woman in today's culture, loving your babies, investing in the home, and it's so beautiful. Where can they find that real quick?
It's called Nurturing Home, and it's on YouTube and Instagram, and it's just a place where I can share about the beauty of nurturing your home and cultivating your family and the culture that just comes when you nurture your home.
I love it. I found it a week ago. And I binge watched almost every episode and recipes, and then just you're very vulnerable and letting people come into your home and see the way that you do life, which I absolutely love. So thank you for that. And we also have Kinsey on the show. Kinsey is a mother of five, and we're going to have another episode later where we go full into all of your adoption stories. Just to give you all the background, Anna helped Kinsey walk through nursing a adopted baby. Give us the quick rundown of just all of the kids in your house.
Okay, so we have five. Our oldest three are biological siblings. We did adopt them older. We got my older two sons, Matt and Ethan, when they were 10 and 13. And this coming October, will be 3 years that we've had them. And then we got their younger brother a couple months later, and he is 9 now. He was 7 when we got him. And he's 10 now. Oh my gosh, we just had a birthday. And then Love, our little girl that is adopted, will be 2 in November, and we stayed in the NICU with her. We actually, she was a little preemie, and that was an amazing experience, and that's when Anna came in. And then we had a surprise, and we have our biological, and he just turned 1, and his name is Murphy.
Yeah, and this is more of your next episode story, but you, your plan from the beginning was adoption.
Yes.
So she was like, I didn't struggle with infertility. Am I allowed to be on the show? I was like, of course you can be on the show. That's what we talk about, all the different ways that God builds families here, and some who have struggled with infertility, I think, will be very curious to hear about your experience having not had a biological child and being able to nurse. So.
And it was super neat because coming into it thinking we weren't ever going to have biological kids, and thinking that my nursing experience with Love was going to be the only experience. Yeah. It made it really sweet, and then finding out, oh, well, now you're going to do it even longer.
Still need it.
It was just a very neat thing for our family.
Well, that is so awesome. Well, we're going to jump right in because I know our listeners have so many questions like I did. That's my husband, y'all. He's watching our baby. I have yet to figure out technology, you guys. I try to turn my... It's on airplane mode, and it still made that noise. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Anywho, he's watching her outside. All right, so Anna, jumping right in. So the first question is, how is this possible? But before we get into that, let's talk about what are the benefits of breastfeeding for whether it's your biological child or an adopted child.
When you think about bringing an adopted baby into your home, the things that you want to tell them, I'm sure McKinsey can speak to this, is like you want to tell them, this is your home. This is where you can feel safe. Mm-hmm. You are loved here. And it's so hard with a baby because you can't have that communication verbally, but you can have it in the way that we nurture them, cuddle them through touch and through breastfeeding. So I think one of the first ways that we can talk about the benefits would just be the psychological benefits of the connection and the bonding, because you can bring them, you know, to the breast, and there they have a myriad of hormones that are released that tell them, like oxytocin, the love and safety hormone, that this
is this in the baby or the mom?
Both, actually.
Okay.
But right now I was talking about the baby. So the baby, like when they latch at the breast, whether or not there's milk actually released from the breast, they their body releases oxytocin and decreases.
Which is a wonderful hormone,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's that love and safety hormone. Love yes, it. And decreases their cortisol, which is like the main stress hormone.
What?
So they have like on a you know like an instinctual level, they feel safe and loved there at the breast, and it also their body also releases a hormone called gastrin, which helps with better digestion and weight gain in babies. So this is there's studies that prove that just suckling at the breast, whether or not there's milk there, causes those hormones to be released.
What?
So whether or not you're able to build a milk supply before your baby comes or not, there's so many great benefits for the baby.
How do these psychological and biological perks reflect God the Creator to you?
That's such a good question. I think that when we spiritually come to the Heavenly Father and we find, you know, His love and His mercy there, we also are fed by His goodness in Christ. So I think like the whole illustration of the mother and child really does reflect the gospel in so many ways. And I feel that each time I nurse one of my babies, and I think that's wonderful in His design. And I think it's beautiful that adopted mothers don't have to give that up just because it's not, you know, their biological baby. They can still have that connection and reflect that eternal picture.
Well, and as I was, I breastfed my little girl and still am right now. And like every time I do research on this, like I feel like the intricacy of the way God designed breastfeeding to work is just such a picture of like God thinking about every detail, even down to that, like creating that bond. And then like, can you talk about, you talked about how the milk nutrients change over time with the baby, like how formula doesn't keep mention that.
Right. So we were talking earlier about how some of the differences between formula and breastfeeding is that formula, the calories and the nutrients kind of stay the same. So you have to just increase the volume to get more nutrients to the baby. But with breastfeeding, the milk is changing with just within the feed, but each like feeding to feeding within the day, within the year, it's constantly changing. And the longer that you nurse your baby, the more fat content that's in the milk. So if you nursed your baby, you know, for 1 minute versus, you know, 30 minutes, at the 30 minute mark, there's a lot more nutrients and fat in the breast milk. So God's design is just so amazing.
And if the child is sick, doesn't it help some, it's almost like a creates a medicine to help them overcome.
There's actually glands on your breast that when your baby latches, it takes in some of the baby's saliva and assesses for like nutrient needs. So if they need more fat, more water, antibodies to illnesses. So anything that you're exposed to or your baby's exposed to, your body is building antibodies for your baby.
I love that.
Yes, jump in.
It's really neat. So, you know, I have minor 2-in-1 now, or almost 2-in-1. And so when I was nursing Just Love while I was pregnant with Murphy, you know, it was just her. And then now that I've had him, if one of them starts feeling icky, I'll make the other one latch
to get the
even
benefit.
More. And there have been multiple times where the, you know, normally when you have multiple kids, any mom knows, like, they're all going to get sick. And I have really felt like that one of them will not get sick, that it's like because they're both nursing that my body's making the antibodies.
You bring in the breast milk medicine.
Yes, and it will, I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, like, we're having nursing time right now because I don't want you to get sick. And I really feel like it's made a difference in their immune systems.
That is so crazy. Only God, like, doctors can't even, like, be able to assess the exact problem and create, like, only a creative God could design it that way. So let's jump in, Kinsey, on how you even knew that this was possible. Because like most people that I've talked to about this upcoming show, they're like, including my husband, he was like, what? You can do that? So how did you even know to talk to Anna?
Well, so Anna worked at the hospital. And so, but before I actually talked to Anna, so like we said earlier, mm-hmm. we had just planned on adoption. We did not plan on having biological kids. And when we talked about that, even if we might, like, I was like, I will not breastfeed. That's weird. I'm not doing it.
So you were one, like,
I was one that would see people and I'm like, oh, can you not go to the bathroom? Or like that was, I was so extreme. And anyway, so we walk in the NICU and they, you know, to meet her for the first time. And I mean, just this overwhelming feeling of like just broken to tears. That's my little girl. The first time I got to, you know, we couldn't pick her up right away because she was so sickly. But when we got to pick her up, like I just was like, it's like my body just wanted to nurse her. And it was,
and your body had never done that before, so it was instinctual.
It was scary, and it was beautiful because it was something that I never wanted, never thought about, and it was just very much just God's design. Mm-hmm. Like, my body was wanting to do it, and I called my mom, and I was like, Mom, like, I want to breastfeed her. And is this weird? And my mom was like, well, it's weird because it's you and you never want to do this. But no, she was like, I never told you this because you've always thought it's so weird. But she said, I breastfed all of your adopted sibling, which we didn't say. I have 4 adopted siblings, and my mom breastfed 3 of them.
A heritage and, of this.
And I was like, how did you know? And she was like, well, I breastfed, you know, my biological kids. I just wanted that bonding with them. And I was like, okay, so that was, Anna came in a little while later, and so we kind of talked about it, and, you know, we got home, and that was the first thing I did with her when we got home was I just latched her, and I definitely feel like it helped with our bonding, and, and we continued to do that all the way through. I found out I was pregnant with our surprise, I think 2 weeks after we brought her home from the NICU.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so, you know, just utter shock, but so I breastfed her I had her latch at least 1 to 3 times a day until about my third trimester. And then she got 2 teeth. And
that's rough.
She thought it was funny to bite me because she liked the reaction. And so, and I was just sensitive being in my third trimester. So we stopped, and she would kind of want it, but she also was fine to just touch it or just be there. And then when Murphy came and jealousy kicked in, we had to start nursing again. So now we nurse all the time again.
Okay.
So, it's been really neat. And it's, I know that you can have milk produced, you know, when you have adopted, even if you haven't had kids.
Sure.
But I don't know. I was really sick when I was pregnant with Murphy. I think my body was just having a hard time maintaining my life as well as growing
and raising
a new child.
4 children.
And so I never produced.
Okay.
But she still, like, she loved that. We had that time. We did it every night before bed. I would do it in the morning before I would wake my big boys up. Like, it was just this time for us. And then in doing that, my husband also every day had skin to skin with her. We'd strip her down. He would strip down. You know, he's not going to nurse, but I really feel like with him, I don't know, Anna may be able to speak to this if it releases any of those same type hormones with a dad. But I mean, he bonded with her so fast. And like, it is still, when she can't sleep, she wants to be stripped down and just laid on his bare chest and will just go right to sleep. And it's really neat.
Yeah. So Anna, is there any sort of chemical reaction that dads have to skin to skin?
Interestingly, there's been studies that have shown that the same amount of oxytocin released in moms when they do skin to skin is the same in dad, which is insane. And that's one of the reasons why in the hospital setting, a lot of times, especially in the NICU, we encourage dads, you know, to do skin to skin. There was lots of times when I worked at the women's hospital, like after birth, after mom had done her golden hour, that they would be like, okay, now it's dad's turn. And they would, you know, pass baby over to dad. So that's a wonderful way to like bring the bonding in, I think, you know, for the whole family.
That is so stinking cool. Okay, so we're going to jump right into the how of this. So let's say someone is getting ready to adopt a baby. And first of all, let me preface, for those that are just joining us in the show, we are talking about breastfeeding adoptive babies. And I am giving these ladies free rein to use biological terms here in your answers. I know later, if we have time, we'll talk about the stigma of breastfeeding. But guys, God created this. It's natural. Anna, you are allowed to use whatever words that God created to answer this question.
Oh,
but
you.
How Can an adoptive mom prepare, or let's say the baby's already there? How do you even go about it?
Well, if you do have time, there are a couple different techniques that you can take. If you know you're going to, be adopting a baby in a few months, the most basic, simple way to prepare would be to start pumping.
Okay.
A lot of moms will just pump every 3 hours for about 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. You can work with a lactation consultant to help you pick the right pump and the right flange size and all that stuff, so you're not having pain when you're pumping.
Okay.
And that can, just that by itself can trigger the prolactin release.
Wow.
And moms who are never been pregnant before,
wow,
their bodies sometimes will just go ahead and start producing milk just by pumping.
Wow.
Other moms choose to do like a hormonal therapy, which is usually estrogen and progesterone to kind of simulate pregnancy. So you would take that for a few months. You would work with your doctor to get a prescription for that.
Would that be through an OB, or who would you see?
It could be through an OB. It could just be from like a general practitioner, like family doctor could also prescribe those.
Okay.
It often is a combination of birth control pills.
Okay.
With estrogen and progesterone. So you would be on that for a few months.
Okay.
And then you would stop that. And that sudden decrease in estrogen is what triggers the prolactin release.
Wow.
So then you would start your pumping or your nursing of your baby. So one question that some people have would be, are these hormones going to be going to my baby if I'm going to go the hormone route? And you stop the hormones before you start actually removing milk and nursing your baby. So that's it. That's if you have a lot of time to prepare for your baby.
Sure.
But if you,
like Kenzie, you're
really
I'm in the hospital.
I just made this decision today.
Really quickly. Some of the options are, of course, like Kenzie said, where you just put the baby to the breast and they're nursing and there's not milk production made. There's also another great option. It's called a supplemental feeder.
Okay.
So it's like a thin tube that runs down your breast.
Okay.
One end is connected to the bottle of either donor milk or formula.
Okay.
And then the thin tubing goes into the baby's mouth, and the suction that they have on the breast pulls the milk through.
What?
So a lot of
If you're not producing enough and that's your concern, it's still the benefit of all of the bonding, the oxytocin, and they're maybe getting some, but not enough.
Right. Yes.
Well, and I think too, if talk about the hormone release and the bonding, having nursed Love first before I nursed Murphy, even though I wasn't producing, like if that's someone's like, I can't produce, or I've done these things, or I don't have time, truly, I've nursed her now that my milk's come in with Murphy, and I would have that same sense of, I don't know if it's, you may be able to speak to this more, but as a, breastfeeding mom, that you just, like if I get stressed out, or I'm like a tizzy, or I notice that I'm being short with my kids, if I will start nursing one of the babies, I immediately calm down. Like it takes me to a happy place.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times if I know I'm going to have to do math with a bigger kid and it is stressful, I'm like, okay, we're going to do math while I'm nursing because I need the Lord and, I need these hormones to get me through this.
Yeah.
But I had that same release and bonding with her pre having milk come in.
Wow.
Which I don't know if, if that's the same for everyone, but if that's a, a question or a concern as an adoptive mom that maybe isn't or doesn't have biological kids or is, may not ever, that I've had the same feeling nursing her with no milk as I did nursing Murphy with milk or nursing her with milk, that it was that same tight moment because of the hormones. And so, I guess for me, I feel like I tend to be a perfectionist and get really stressed out over things. And then when that happens, I know stress can very much affect your breast milk. And I think for me, it was good that I did not have time to prepare for her because I think there would have been so much stress around the pumping. The not that that wouldn't, that may work wonderful for some people, but if you just are like, God's going to do what God's going to do, and his timing is perfect, and I'm just going to put this baby on my breast like it was intended, and we're just going to see what happens. Like, I think you can still have that same connection and that gift that God gives to moms without having the milk come in. Like, if it never, I think her and I would have had the same experience if I never would have gotten pregnant with Murphy, or if I never would have had my milk come in.
Awesome.
It still was just this sweet time
with
her.
I also love how you dramatically changed your perspective on it. Like, the minute you held her. Like, so let's talk about that, because there's a stigma around breastfeeding in general, whether it's a biological child or not. But what kind of reactions did you get from other people when they found out that you were breastfeeding a child that you did not physically birth?
Well, I really I was also kind of like, I was very vocal about like, mm-hmm. I will never do this. And mm-hmm. so I didn't want people to see me like backtrack on that.
You're like, I got a few words
yes,
here.
I don't want to eat crow. but no, so we really did not. I didn't really tell anybody other than people mm-hmm. that I knew would be supportive. I think Anna knew, my best friend, Abby, who was a absolute godsend. She stocked our freezer with breast milk for
that
love.
That is so cool.
Just a gift. And which we can come back to that later about stigma. But so other than Anna and family and my friend Abby, nobody really knew until I had Murphy. And I was nursing Murphy anyway, mm-hmm. and Love would nurse. And so now it's just kind of
natural,
but mm-hmm. it's like you do what?
And well, I think because a lot of people don't even know that it's possible for one. Right. And then for some reason, like people just think human breast milk is gross. Mm-hmm. Like if they see it in the freezer, they're like, "Gah!" And I'm like, why? Like, that's so and natural how God designed it.
And I think it's so sad because, you know, there are people mm-hmm. that, you know, like we were going to do adoption only by choice, but there are people that desperately want that experience of that connection and that, you know, like that's not that you can't be a mother without breastfeeding because I was a mother to my big boys and they came older. But there's something so beautiful about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's sad, like this taboo-ness that the world has put on it. And, you know, I don't think all lactation specialists are the same by any means. I don't think.
Not everybody's Anna.
I don't think that you should just, you know, go with anyone because they're a lactation specialist, because we had someone come in with Murphy that I was not happy with what she told us and the stress that she put on me. And I think that if you find someone like Anna that is supportive of that, that having someone like her and someone like my mom, that I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If they think I'm crazy, they're not my child. Yeah. And I need this with her.
I'm going to put my family first.
And that's kind of, I think, in our adoption journey, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Mm-hmm. If you are doing what God has called you to do and you are putting the children in your home first, mm-hmm. then that's all that matters. And people can think you're as weird as they want. Yeah. Like, it doesn't.
And society might not be on your side, but biology is on your side.
Right.
And this is also something, if you look at other countries, Anna, can you address that? Like, is breastfeeding stigma in the U.S. different than other parts of the world, do you think?
For sure. And of course, in other countries, like, breastfeeding is necessary for survival.
Sure.
So babies are breastfed for longer. Mm. They're breastfed, of course, exclusively. And there is sharing of breastfeeding duties a lot of times, if the mother is to have illness or to pass away.
Okay.
So in this kind of adoption scenario, this does happen in other cultures for sure, of sharing, that wet nursing, you've probably heard that term before, of where babies are nursed by other moms. And I do think that is a way that immunity is created, you know, is by—
That's interesting.
Just the, you know, the tribal setting, the community setting that breastfeeding can affect and can be centered in.
How in general do you think that women need to support each other better through breastfeeding and even in the education process?
I think being able to talk about your struggles and to be able to say, like, you know, my pediatrician told me this, or my mom friend told me this, that my baby's supposed to be sleeping through the night at 2 months or whatever. And being able to say, you know what? You know, I've had five kids and none of them did that.
Yeah.
So it's okay that your baby's not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, or it's okay to feed on demand. It's okay not to, you know, to follow a strict schedule and to be able to explain maybe like why that's not beneficial for your baby. So supporting each other and listening to each other.
Well, because historically, there was a time when lots of women were encouraged to not breastfeed, but they were like, the formula's better because this, like, we can do better than God because we scientists,
right?
So I think there's a lot of that that's still kind of, there's a new movement, I think, of people that are appreciating breast milk. And again, for those that are listening, if you, for some reason, are not able to and that's just like Kenzie, like you said, that's not what makes a mom a mom. Mm-hmm. A fed baby is the most important.
Right.
And praise God for other options.
I was going to say also to say, even if you don't have a great milk supply, even if you have a baby and you have never have your mature milk come in, you still have so many benefits of latching your baby.
That's awesome.
So even for biological moms who struggle with their milk supply, can still latch your baby.
That's awesome.
Well, and I think too, you know, talking about like pediatrician or, you know, we were above all else bonding with love. Like that was our biggest thing was bonding with her. And so my older boys that were adopted, they did skin to skin with her. Everybody had skin to skin time with her.
Cool.
And that was like they got to pick a movie and they got on the couch and they did skin to skin. And she's so close with them.
I love that.
And she slept in the bed. I know it's... We did, we, you know, she
come
slept
on,
in the
Kenzie,
bed with
tell
us.
Us.
Yeah, she slept in the bed with us every night. Yeah. And if she woke up and wanted to latch, we would latch. And she's alive and she's well. and the crazy thing is, it's all the things that we did that people would have said is weird or taboo or we'd go to the pediatrician. I'm like, yeah, she's sleeping great in her crib because I was scared of the judgment.
Right.
And every time we would go see a doctor or all of her specialists, they were like, she's amazing. She is passing all these markers.
Wow.
I thought she might have special. Like all of the things that she, you know, it's God. It's God's plan for her that she is the way that she is. But, you know, all of the things that we did, I think that she was thriving because she was having this bond with all of us that just, she knew that she was loved.
Wow. You guys, this is so awesome. If anyone's listening to this, we are almost out of time. I know you probably have a ton of questions. Anna, if they were to mention in the comments a question, would it be possible for you to like log in and just like answer one? Or two.
Yeah,
so go on social media. Y'all, my phone. I gotta figure it out. I gotta learn technology, y'all. I'm gonna do it one day. But yeah, thank you guys both so much for coming on. Stay tuned for a future episode with Kenzie talking about her full adoption story. I am so excited to get into that. And multi-generational adoption.
Yes.
Like, if that's not the heart of God, I don't know what is. Thank you ladies both so much for what you do. And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.